there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hi, I'm Wendy Zuckerman, host of the show Science Versus. And today on Shots of Science Versus, we're asking, how addictive is caffeine? Will your one cappuccino leave you needing more and more? I talked with senior producer Rose Rimler about the science here. And she told me that some people are really worried about this addiction thing.
I think a lot of that comes from this, like, terrible withdrawal that some people have when they stop it. Now, caffeine withdrawal is a real thing. And people who quit coffee all of a sudden can totally feel sick. Like about half of them will get a headache. This could be because caffeine restricts blood flow to the brain. And when we go off it, the blood whooshes back in.
Oh, wow.
Some people even feel like they have the flu and they feel like really tired and crappy. So send them help. So pray for them.
Do I need to pray for them? Do I, like, if suddenly there was an apocalypse and they couldn't get their coffee, how bad would it be?
All those symptoms, they go away for most people somewhere between 2 to 9 days.
Okay. So if they can survive for 9 days, they'll be back to normal.
Yes. Just hunker down in your bunker. Hunker in your bunker.
Great.
And it'll play itself out.
Right. Okay.
But back to this addiction thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might reasonably call yourself dependent on caffeine if you feel sick without it. But that's not the same thing as addiction. With addiction, what experts point to is that you are using a substance even though it's bad for you. It has negative consequences on your life. Maybe you even like really want to quit and you can't. And I think right now, the general idea among scientists is that this is not a problem for most people. They don't really see any evidence of this like negatively affecting people.
Right, for most people. And then what about tolerance? Like this idea that you need to have more and more caffeine to have the same effect.
Yeah, we typically don't really see that with caffeine.
Really?
And one reason is probably that at a high dose, caffeine starts to activate this other type of adenosine receptor in our brain that causes anxiety.
Oh, this is why you get all like jittery and like, ooh, if you have
too
much caffeine.
There's sort of a threshold you can cross from all the feeling like alert and energetic and kind of good to, oh, now I feel anxious and jittery and weird. And one researcher I spoke to said that for caffeine specifically, this window, he calls it a window between the good and the bad feelings, is pretty short. So you can kind of easily tip yourself over when you've had more caffeine into that anxious feeling. And if you're starting to feel that way, you know, many people would probably put down their third venti frappuccino of the day, you know, at that point.
Yes.
So there's kind of a natural cap for most people
yes.
on how much caffeine we're going to drink every day.
Yeah. You know, because recently I did, I guess we're in the middle of the season. It's a hard place to be. And I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to drink more coffee. And it did make me feel anxious. And so I was like, no, just go back to one or
yeah.
two cups. Like just, yeah, this isn't, go for a run instead or whatever.
Yeah, it's not like worth it to most people.
Yeah.
At a certain point. And you know, this can be different if you're mixing caffeine with other drugs. That's more dangerous. But bottom line, caffeine is not considered a drug of abuse. There is no caffeine use disorder in the DSM, you know, the big manual for psychiatric disorders. It's been proposed, but right now it's not officially in there.
Okay. So for now we could say science says caffeine isn't really that addictive. Is that where we're at?
I think so. I think so.
So thus far, all right, it's really not seeming like caffeine is that bad. And I'm trying to think why I thought caffeine was bad for you.
I actually might have an answer. In the 90s, there was news that coffee was associated with bladder cancer.
Oh, really?
But that has been debunked in more recent years.
Okay.
Turns out it was not a real association. But even if you don't remember that stuff about bladder cancer, I think that sort of percolated, so to speak, in the culture. Mm-hmm. And we haven't quite gotten over it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Plus, there's a lot of fears around pregnancy and caffeine.
Right.
And that is something to think about because we know that caffeine can cross the placenta and get to the fetus. And so drinking a lot of caffeine when you're pregnant isn't recommended. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, health guidelines from around the world, they say you can have 1 or 2 cups of coffee a day if you're pregnant.
Right.
You know, overall, just putting aside pregnancy, I walked away feeling pretty reassured about caffeine. Because here's something that I thought was like really kind of great. So it turns out that people who drink coffee have a lower risk of Parkinson's disease, depression, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease.
Really?
And although we once thought coffee was carcinogenic, more recent studies have found that it actually might reduce your risk of some cancers.
What?
Like liver and breast cancer.
Are you kidding me? Are you sick? Like,
yeah, and even drinking coffee is associated with being less likely to die earlier. So the biggest benefits are seen in people who drink 2 to 3 cups a day. But even at higher amounts, we still see people apparently getting some benefit. Like one study looked at people drinking as much as 8 cups of coffee a day.
What?
And found they still lived a little longer than people who didn't drink any coffee.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't that many people that drink 8 cups of coffee a day, so that's kind of a smaller sample size. But I think that point stands that the science suggests that coffee is not actively harming you. And caffeinated tea also seems to be good for us.
I mean, are we sure? Are we sure about this? Like, why would coffee and tea have these benefits?
And nobody totally knows. It could have something to do with the exercise boosts you get from caffeine. Because mm-hmm. like we said earlier, like walking more steps a day. But also, it could be that it's not really about the caffeine. It's about the other stuff that's in the plant. So the coffee bean, the tea leaf. There's a lot of stuff in there that's really good for us and is anti-inflammatory and has antioxidant potential.
Wow. I'm feeling very good about my coffees. I was not expecting this from science, but thank you.
Anytime.
To hear more about the fascinating science of caffeine, head over to our main feed. So just search for Science Versus, that's Science VS in your podcast app, whatever you're using, and click on our episode, Caffeine, How Much is Too Much? Trust me, this episode is so damn good. I'm Wendy Zukerman. Back to you next time.